Holmes to tell you of something that's happening in our country.
Steve-O and Tao in the AM present Shock Therapy Live.
I speak of the greatest offender of all.
Featuring Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Awesome. And now. Here we go.
Email your questions now to studio@star98.fm. Welcome.
Did we just kind of like, did we subtly miss the intro of Shock Therapy?
No, Live? You know what it was? It's like you build. Boom. This is when we're coming in. You know,
I kind of feel like I just missed, like, forgot my anniversary.
Nah. Tao's here.
I'm here.
We're hanging.
We are.
This weather is amazing.
Yeah, is it raining or no? I don't know. It's amazing, but it's pouring. Also depressing.
Yeah, we were talking about this off air.
It's a real thing. Like, I was talking to a guy who we know from Seattle.
Yeah.
And he was telling us that the whole, like, seasonal depression thing, like, it's a real thing. Like, people who live in areas like Seattle deal with this every day. You're, like, always bummed out because it's like this, like, 300 days out of the year.
See, and for me, it's like, I don't want to say I'm depressed. I get chill, and then I just want to go home and watch movies while it's pouring rain outside.
I just want to eat a profuse amount of soup.
Oh, okay.
I like
just like
that.
a lot of soup.
The oddest. What kind of soup?
Like, I want to eat some tomato soup, like bisque soup with a grilled cheese.
Come with me to Freedom, and I'm going to introduce you to something called Tom Kha Gai.
That just sounds dumb.
No, it's an incredible coconut soup. And
yeah, nope. Uh-uh.
It's Thai.
Nope.
What?
That's not soup. Soup is like American home, like makes you feel
warm
inside.
You're like a chicken noodle kid,
aren't
you? Gosh.
No, I'm like clam chowder.
That is so like, that's not soup, that's a paste.
My favorite soup, there's a place called Savory Fair.
Okay.
And they have a soup there, a green chili chicken soup that's a cream-based soup, and it is out of this world.
You need to I'm going to buy some Tom Kha Gai and make you have some.
I'm not going to
do it. Yes, you are.
Uh-oh.
Oh
refuse.
My gosh. Gosh, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Americans make soup.
Steve Oteo and Pastor Nate Heitzig.
I don't support that view.
I don't either, man. I love Thai food.
America.
And Tom Kha Gai is my favorite.
America.
Man, coconut milk base.
America.
It's so good. Oh, it's so good.
America.
Anyways, it is it's October 21st. So first of all, it's the day to make you feel old if you were a child watching Back to the Future, because this is the day that Marty traveled to the future and nothing has changed.
Actually, I watched the USA Today article and they said like what they got right.
Yeah, it's true.
And what they didn't get right. Like there was video, like you could call somebody with a video screen.
That's true.
They got that right.
Yeah.
Technically, Lexus is making hoverboards. They're not as crazy. They're not as crazy as the Marty McFly hoverboards.
Yeah, I don't know though.
Nike,
I guess technically.
Nike announced that they're going to make the self-lacing shoes.
Yeah, the shoes are happening.
That's happening.
Yeah.
The Cubs are probably going to go to the World
Series.
No,
they're not. They're down 0-3.
No,
they got
it's
smoked
just a
again.
Comeback.
Oh,
just a
gosh.
Comeback.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you know it's all a
greatest
rain.
Comeback.
They got to make
NLCS
it a good story.
History. Yeah, let's see that happen.
It'll happen.
No, all those people
it's
who
be
bet,
the Mets and the
who
Royals.
Bet profuse amounts of money because of Back
it's
to the Future.
Man.
They're losing their minds right now because they're so close to not
trying
being
to figure out how to tell their wives that they have to leave their house.
They were banking on Back to the Future 2 being right. Oh, man.
So, honey, I quit my job because of Back to the Future.
I put it all on the Cubs.
I put it all on the Cubbies. Wish I could go back. Put it all on the Cubbies. I know what you mean, homeless guy. I know what you mean.
Man, it is Shock Therapy Live. We're here hanging out, and we actually do have a question. If you would like to chime in, if you have a question, maybe you're going through something. Maybe this weather has brought about that quote-unquote depression we're talking about, and you're just like not feeling life right now. You need some advice. You need some help. This is what we're here for. No, we are not doctors, but we're hilarious, and Nate is a pastor.
Doctors of laughter.
Yes.
I like that. We're hilarious, and Nate is a pastor. I'm not
truth.
Hilarious. Thanks. It's okay.
You're hilarious. I don't mean you're not hilarious. You're a pastor as well as being hilarious. Gosh. So sensitive. Mm. So sensitive.
You guys are hilarious and I'm handsome.
It's because you finally, like, are you ever going to bring that stash back or was that like a
no,
one and done?
No, I'm coming back. It's coming back.
See, is it? I could tell. Yeah. I just couldn't tell if you hadn't shaved because
no,
I just
no, it's coming
shaved.
Just for November. Okay. It's going to be a November thing.
All right.
Got to raise awareness for prostate cancer and for great mustaches.
You're growing a mustache. You're growing a full beard. I'm just growing my hair out. So
man,
there we go.
Well, you should grow the stash back out.
I just, you know, I don't know if my wife would enjoy that. Like, we could ask her on Shock Therapy Live. You know, it could be like a serious question.
Dude.
Wives. Like, in all seriousness.
My wife the other day, I had just shaved it into the mustache, and she'd already seen it. It wasn't like a reveal. But she just forgot that I had it, and so we were sitting there eating, and she just looked up and she just went, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And she was like, did you go to work like that today?
What did you say?
Yes.
Of course, I did.
I went to work.
Not only did I go to work, I had important meetings like that today.
That's good.
Gosh. Purpose of Shock Therapy Live. We are here to hang out with you. Maybe you are
I actually
going
recorded
something.
The board video with my fresh, gross mustache.
Gosh. We want to know what's going on in your world.
That's a good intimidation thing.
Yeah, it can be.
Maybe. Because
a hide your kids intimidation thing?
No, this is the fascination with mustaches.
Okay.
I'm going to psychologically break them down. So you grow out your mustache. There are two stigmas with a mustache. You either get, and excuse me, friends, you either get the Burt Reynolds or you get the guy in a van looking for kids. Mm. Those are the two connotations that go with a mustache.
I felt like Nate's wasn't so much like the guy in the van, but it was like the middle ground.
Let me finish.
Okay.
So, What happens is when you grow that mustache and you wear it into an important place, since there are those two giant stigmas, not putting one or either one on you, everybody in the room starts thinking, man, look at that mustache. Wait, why does he have the confidence to grow that out?
Mm.
I mean, that could say one of two things about him. Either he's Burt Reynolds or he's creepy guy in a van. But he doesn't even care. He's just grown it out. And here he is in this. What does he have that I don't have? I better listen to him. That's how it all goes.
You know, the thing with the mustache,
for the board video, then.
Surprisingly, you would think a mustache would make you unapproachable. But the mustache made me more approachable.
Oh, yeah.
Burt Reynolds. I had just everywhere I went in public places, everybody was like, man, that's a great mustache.
That's a stache.
Wow. Of course, there's also the other side of things, which is people see you growing that out and they feel sorry for you.
No, I think what happened, his mustache.
I'm going to show you guys.
Nate, your mustache reminds me of like the villain in the black and white movie that kidnapped the damsel in distress and like put her on train tracks. So
no, hold on.
That's what I think of.
Villain.
Yeah. So not creepy guy, just straight up villain. Wow.
Look at that thing.
That is intense.
You can probably, I don't know if you can see it through the.
You look like Doc Holliday.
Oh, man, yeah. I remember that thing.
It's a vicious.
Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Because the thing with a mustache, if you don't groom it and manicure it, you become the creepy guy in the van.
Yeah.
Like, you got to take the time to style it, and that takes a long time.
Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Guys, I promise there's a purpose to the show, and it is this.
No, not.
We want to hang out with you. Shock Therapy Live, it's more a conversational show. We seriously just kind of hang out, bro down, and enjoy getting to take a moment into your life, knowing what's going on in your world. Maybe there's a relationship not going well. Maybe you need some help with something. Maybe you have royally screwed up and you don't have a DeLorean to take you to the future to try and change everything.
Maybe you're depressed by the weather and you want to talk about it.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, we're here for you. 505-338-3700.
It feels like it's 6 a.m. right now.
It really does.
It really does. Feels early.
Which sucks for you guys because you actually are here at 6 a.m.
So
it just perpetually feels like you're stuck in
it's
it
like
not
Alaska.
Getting any later.
It's creepy. We get here about 5 o'clock and this morning, it's getting darker and in that time.
Yeah.
And I'm just like thoroughly creeped out at this point. Like,
in time.
Who's going to jump out and just slay me in this moment?
Mm.
Yeah. Bear tried to, but you know what happened with that bear. We were on the news.
That's right.
What happened?
Took that bear down.
Oh, that one time,
that
a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. We happened upon said bear. That was us. That was dreadful.
The story would have been so much cooler if Bear ended up on a rug in the studio.
Yeah, that's true.
If you guys actually battled the bear.
He's an animal activist, though.
I like animals.
He loves animals.
What if the animal tried to eat your head? Would you battle it?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Then it becomes survival of the fittest.
Yeah, and you're way fitter.
I'm not
than
thinking
that
like, hey, look at that bear.
What does that bear do?
I'm not thinking like, hey, look at that bear. Let's go chase it and kill it. I'm thinking like, Bear sees you and says, hey, there's lunch. And you say, no, Bear.
That's
you're
going
to be a rug.
And that's also why I don't go hanging out in the woods by myself.
That's true.
There's a lot of good reasons not to do that.
Yeah, hey, there's good news, everyone.
Many reasons.
We actually got a real question to train wreck our hanging out. So that's good. Yeah,
it's just the bare necessities, Steve-o.
Okay. I wouldn't know.
Have you guys
seen
the preview for the live action version of Jungle Book?
It looks great.
It's confession time on Shock Therapy Live. Never seen the Jungle Book.
Would you cure him, Nate?
The original cartoon.
Do something for that guy.
Just going to slap you.
But I did see Tailspin, and wasn't the bear from Jungle Book
Shut up.
In Tailspin?
Yes. Shut up.
Okay.
Baloo.
Yes. I watched him fly airplanes. Uh-huh. Totally different.
Classic.
How did you not see that movie?
I don't know.
He was too busy watching RoboCop.
Or The Black Cauldron.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
This question actually came in towards the very end of the show, and it was mislabeled Theology Thursday, and then our listener said, I'm in shock therapy.
I remember that.
So here we go. Good morning, guys. I have a fertility question.
Mm.
My husband and I have one child. We now have four consecutive miscarriages. We have seen the fertility doctor in town, and after thousands of dollars, we're told there is nothing wrong with us, and that we are, and that we are genetically incompatible. We didn't know this was a thing, and will continue to miscarry.
Yeah.
He suggested that we do in vitro fertilization, IVF. We are lucky, and our insurance covers up to 80% of that, to find a healthy embryo. But our fear is, what if he's wrong, and we have 10 to 15 healthy genetic embryos? We believe that embryos are life, but do we just give them away? She says, my babies? What if a couple that we don't like, you know, their lifestyle or something like that, takes some of the embryos? Then these couples are in town. I could see my child around. It's just so weird, but miscarriages are terrible, and I can't make it through many more of them. Thank you for your help.
Now, we did, I will say, we did reference it on Theology Thursday last week because it was mislabeled Theology Thursday. And Beenix talked specifically about where life begins. So we talked about the idea of life beginning at conception, which means these little embryos
are life.
Are life.
Yeah.
And so her personal question, the idea of what do I do with these babies? You know, if there are 10 healthy ones, do I give them away? One part of the question that threw me for a loop last week that I've just been kind of dwelling on was, what if I don't like the people that have one of our children, basically?
Well, not even, I would think even deeper than not just not liking, but.
Well,
like,
that's the way the question was phrased. So it was just oh man,
I think she just worded it poorly.
Yeah.
But I think what she's trying to say is, you know, like, what if somebody with an alternate lifestyle ended up deciding that they wanted to have one of your babies, and that baby grew up, that child grew up in a home where it didn't learn to fear and to love the Lord.
Yeah.
So I can understand that fear.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought about it, you know, that concept, but obviously she's struggling with it.
I think you got to trust in the Lord. If this is truly the desire of your heart, if you're like, we want to have another baby, but all these what ifs are choking you out, you've got to pray, one. And you and your husband have to come together on this and decide what to do. We definitely can't tell you what to do in this situation, but I first and foremost would say pray, seek the Lord in everything with this decision. But don't allow those fears, if you will, to choke out the idea of a child. If their desire is to have a child, it's like, man, we want to have a child. But what if we have a few extra embryos that are good? And what if they go to crazy homes? And what if this? And what if that? What about this one child that you're wanting to have in your home that you can impact, that you can raise up to love the Lord? Are you not, by not doing this, by not being quote-unquote obedient, if this is what God has called you to do, are you not just, I mean, taking away an opportunity for this child?
Yeah.
It's really hard because
I'm even trying to think in my mind of biblical examples, and there's really not any. You know, you've got Samuel, but he was entrusted into the temple, and he was entrusted into the care of the high priest. So Samuel, you know, there was a knowledge that his mom knew that Samuel would grow up fearing the Lord because he was growing up in the temple in the service of the Lord.
Yeah.
So I think of her that she entrusted and she trusted God, but it's a different kind of trust because she knew exactly what was going to happen with him. You know what? One thing I could think of. This could be a perfect example. Moses. Moses was going to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to be murdered. were his mom and sister not to send him into the will of God, having faith that God was going to use his life powerfully and that God would save him. They had no idea where he was going to go, what was going to happen, what was going to become of his life, but they trusted God. The alternative was to let him die. And so I think in the same way, you know, with these embryos, the alternative to giving them and letting someone else experience the joy of this child would be to terminate them and end that life. Mm. And so I think that in that kind of that same mindset, we have that trust and that faith in God as you send those and you say, man, Lord, I don't know where they're going to end up, what's going to happen, but I believe you've got a purpose and a will for their life. And I pray that you would be close to them no matter what home they grow up in and that you would draw them near to you.
Yeah. Hey, dude. Perfect example.
I was trying to think. I was like, what's a biblical precedent?
Their child was picked up by Pharaoh.
Seriously.
I mean?
They're like, so hey, let's get him away from the Egyptians. Oh, crap. Worst
watching
home.
Watching the basket, you're like, no.
Worst
no,
home
no.
to get grabbed by.
Right. Absolutely. But you know what?
Like worse than a crocodile.
They trusted that God was going to do something amazing in that child's life because we know from the book of Jeremiah that before we were formed in the womb, God knew us, has a plan for us. And so these little embryos, if you will, God knows these babies. God knows this life. And there is a purpose for this life. And so... That's inspiring.
That was the perfect. I'm going to pat myself on the back.
That was good, man. You should really just pat the Holy Spirit on the back because I have a feeling it was more him than you.
I can't touch him.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'll just pat my heart. Here we go.
Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. That's 338-3700. Maybe this has spawned something in you. Maybe you just want to ask a question or you want to chime in. Maybe you've lived through this experience. We always love hearing testimonies of people that God has already done something great in your life through this. It does bring about another interesting question when hearing this question. We talked about this last week very minutely on the show, not being doctors or scientists, but we did research genetic incompatibility, and it's there.
Wow.
So then it brought up the question of this. It's in the year 2015, it's very popular to be like, man, this marriage isn't working. I'm peacing out. In fact, just yesterday, I got an email. I get emails regularly from different publicists who are like, hey, would you like to interview this person? Would you like to interview this couple? Would you like to? And I got this one yesterday. It's an interview opportunity for this topic. Open marriage versus cheating. Which wins?
Wow.
It was from obviously not
that is a battle.
Do we have to choose?
Not a Christian publisher, but you're
Do we have to pick one?
But that's what I'm saying. This just totally in my boldens the
Can it be an A, B, C, C, none of the above?
This was the topic summary. AshleyMadison.com has been decimated by hackers who outed the supposed secrets of millions of customers of the leading cheat on your spouse website, but other sites are ready to take its place. Some people haven't learned that in love, as all else, honesty is the best policy. This is the couple we have the interview opportunity for. For Barbara and Michael Foster, cheating was never an option. During the couple's 40 years of marriage, both have had affairs, and they remain an understanding and loving couple together. They say there's a wide difference between open marriages versus cheating, and the difference is honesty and compassion. So they were writing a book, and it's like discussion questions for this couple who have been together 40 years who have an open marriage. This is what we're headed towards, as it talks about it, because this is a quote.
Don't
from
you kind of just want to interview?
Dude, kind of do, honestly, for Shock Therapy Live.
If we were still static radio, I'd say let's do
it. It would be interesting to see just how unattached they are from like a traditional marriage.
Right. Here's the quote from them. Quote, we live in 2015 and marriage is whatever consenting people make of it. End quote. That's Michael, the husband of this couple. He also says the old constraining rules are giving way, for example, to gay marriage, changing gender. Open marriage, whether in a romantic sense or diverse occupations or separate homes, is the wave of the future.
The wave of the future? Like, how many people are doing this?
For couples with or without outside affairs, honesty remains the key to a long-lasting, loving relationship. End quote. So as we're hearing this is what the world is spitting out. This is a reality, man. Open marriages.
Dude, all I know is that if that guy looks at my wife, I'm going to kick him in the balls.
And you
Well said.
So we get this question on Shock Therapy Live, and she says, hey, my greatest desire on the planet is to have a child. My husband and I have been trying desperately. We have gone to doctors and have found out we are genetically incompatible. Even though we can both have children, we can't have children with each other. What do you do?
Dude, that's tough.
Right! That's the question we got!
The first thing I think of is, man, and I think they went to the right place. You notice then in their question, they're not asking, like, man, should we get a divorce?
Not at all!
Be together?
Right.
And I think, man, praise the Lord that we're in an age of modern medicine where even though genetically you're incompatible, you can't have kids, we have medicine that can enable you to still have kids, and how incredible is that?
Yeah. Now, I'm assuming they're ground into the word because you're right. They didn't go there. But how many couples out there are going there wondering, well, Lord, you know, I believe this is what you had for me, and this was our desire?
Man, then that's the answer to gay marriage because they're genetically incompatible.
Yeah. Boom. But you know what I mean? I mean, how do you counsel someone who is in a marriage and essentially have come to find out that full on, period, the end, this is impossible. Now, I, of course, immediately think of, as we talk about genetic incompatibility, I'm wondering how genetically incompatible Abraham and Sarah were because they were knocking boots for like 80 years trying to have a kid.
Yeah. How common is it?
Good question. I don't have the study in front of me.
It's the first time I've heard about it.
Oh, dude.
So there's so many questions that I have about it. It's hard for me to formulate an answer for how do you respond to being genetically incompatible.
Yeah. Right.
And to me, when something like that comes up genetically incompatible, to me what that typically means is doctors don't quite know how to make sense of it, so they just say, oh, you're genetically incompatible.
You know, this is Shock Therapy Live, so I'm gonna preface it because I'm about to say something. I'm going to preface it with, hey, this is Shock Therapy Live. This is definitely for the older crowd. This is, you know, so if there are children listening, I want to give a moment to...
Earmuffs.
Yeah. I have a friend who I'm going to sadly say was married because him and his wife, and they weren't believers. Him and his wife could not have sex because she had sex before marriage. She was in relationships before. But her and him were quote unquote genetically incompatible in that she was allergic to his sperm. Like she broke out.
What in the world?
But just him. And so they could not be intimate on levels and on the most intimate sacred level, if you will. And because of that, that was just one of the many things. And again, they weren't believers or anything. They ended up getting a divorce because what do you do with that? But they could not be physically intimate with each other in that regard.
So reading about genetic incompatibility, the thing that just, I mean, obviously I've read literally two paragraphs about this, so I'm not claiming to be the expert on this, but it seems that it results from abnormalities in both the husband and the wife that otherwise, were they to be paired with somebody who did not have an abnormality, they'd still be able to have kids. But when you combine both abnormalities, it makes them genetically incompatible.
Isn't that crazy?
So to me, it's no different than simply the wife or simply the husband not having the ability, because it's not just like their bodies are normal. They do have an abnormality, though it is an abnormality that were to be paired up with somebody else, it wouldn't be an issue, but when paired up with this other person. So to me, I look at it as still, you know, part of the downfall of sin, you know, the fact that we're in corruptible, imperfect bodies. And so part of that mindset is this abnormality, is that we have things, we have issues, you know, and because of that, some people have, you know, abnormalities with their reproductive organs. Other people have, you know, abnormalities with, you know, other parts, their sinuses, their, you know, there's a million things that your body can have abnormality on. To me, it's all the downfall of sin. And so I wouldn't think of it like, man, well, this person isn't the person for me because we can't have babies together. And so that means that God doesn't want me to be with them. I don't think that's the case. You know, I think that could still be the person that God wants you to be with. But I think that you guys, you both have something going on in your body that doesn't enable you to be able to have kids the conventional way. And so you got to think outside of the box, like what this couple is doing in order to have that. man, what a tough.
It's I love all of my children. I love my boys. They are incredible. But I also do know that I have to love Christ first. And I think we can. And I'm so guilty of it. Place our children above all else. And I think sometimes, like even in marriages, I want to have a child so badly, no matter what, this is it. Well, what if the other spouse just flat didn't want to and you didn't have that discussion and now you're in a marriage and guess what? You can't just quote unquote walk away, you know, biblically speaking, like you're locked in. This is a life deal.
So listen to this. This is really interesting. This article, it says, but there may be a genetic incompatibility between a man and a woman that prevents them from having children, but not with another couple. The answer is no. Recessive hereditary diseases are the exception. These diseases need to demonstrate that both the gene copy inherited from our father and our mother are both mutated. If only one copy is mutated and the other is not, the person is a carrier and has none of the clinical symptoms of the disease. If by chance both partners are carriers of the same recessive genetic disease, they could pass it on to their offspring with a probability of 25%. Depending on the severity of the disease, it may even result in pregnancies not coming to term. Therefore, a family history of miscarriages, newborn malformations, or mental impairment may be due to genetic or chromosomal alterations, which must be identified. In these cases, adequate preconception advice is necessary because today's genetics allow us to offer solutions. Mm. So that's interesting that it says that it really, again, it results really to the root of it, a recessive passive disease that if both partners carry that combined together, it can not enable you to have kids.
And this is another reason why we partner with ministries like Aspen Project. I mean, I think about our dear friend Brian Lopez, who his wife will be getting home in on Friday, just a couple days from now, with their 13th. She's coming home from China. We were actually, when we were going to New York, we were on the same flight with her on her way out as we were going there. But adoption is also, I mean, we've had Brian in the show a few times talking specifically about his
family. Jacob.
Yeah, dude, yeah. Ginormous house, and his heart is just full of love for these children because, as he said last time he was on the morning show, this is, you know, one of the ways we express Christ's love because we are adopted, you know, into this incredible kingdom. What better way to show this than through adoption. So it's not the end. And I think a lot of times we can, in turn, I'm so guilty of this, get hung up on something that is quote unquote a genetic incompatibility in our marriage, whether it's an actual genetic incompatibility or I don't like the way this or this doesn't have, or that's not the way this was supposed to be, or man, I was a kid when we got married, or whatever your excuses are and reasons why you think it's coming to an end or it should end because you're just not compatible anymore. You can get through it, but we always talk about this on the air. Seek pastoral counseling. You should be talking to your pastor. You should be speaking openly with your spouse, because if there's one thing this weird couple, this open whatever marriage couple got right, it was honesty is the key to anything. You got to be honest. Maybe not that open.
Yeah.
But man, the rain is pouring down, and we are having a heavy discussion. I just need to take a nap.
It's just a Wednesday.
Dude, I'm not nearly as passionate and excited.
The weather has made you sad.
I want to sit in my room and
some
listen
cocoa
and listen to late 2000s Blink 182.
Why late 2000s? Oh, yeah, late 2000s was
like
good.
That. Okay, that like one, self-titled. That one I was like, down,
oh, yeah.
Down,
yeah. Dude.
Down.
Okay.
And then I miss you.
You know, I'd probably get in a lot of trouble, so I can't play it, because I actually probably happen to have that in the system.
I bought Rock Band 4.
You did?
Yeah.
Why have you not invited me over
yet?
Is it incredible?
So much fun.
Oh, man.
It's a good time.
What?
Last night I played Pain by Jimmy Eat World and Futures, and I played
I don't feel okay.
I don't feel the way I ever did. I know gonna smile and not
yeah.
Dude, so good. And Sweetness, I got Sweetness on
we
there.
We live.
The crazy thing
close
is you can download the whole catalog of past Rock Band 4s onto there. So like I got like a bunch of Coldplay
so you have to
catalog
buy the,
on
you still
there.
Have to buy all the stupid instruments and everything.
Yeah, well, Costco had the package. You could get the band in the box and came with the drums,
oh,
a mic,
Costco?
And a guitar. Yeah. Costco. Costco.
Gosh, we live so close to each
other.
That's
right.
I've never been to your house.
On the radio, huh?
Never been to your house.
Yeah, you can't say that.
Big old jerk. Mm. Guys, I'm calling him out. It's Shock Therapy Live.
Dude, come to my house.
Okay.
Come play Rock Band 4.
Okay. Was that a real invite?
It was a real invite.
Okay, I will.
Do it.
Maybe I will today. Oh, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, it would be tough.
Yeah, it'd be tough. You don't get home.
Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow. Okay.
You can come play Rock Band 4 tomorrow.
Yeah, okay, maybe I will.
All right. You're invited.
All right. Cool. Sweet.
After I get off work, you can come over. If you don't come over, it's your fault, not mine.
Oh, man.
Good grief.
No takes backsies.
Dale, help us. Phone lines are open.
I got really excited because we had some notifications pop up on Facebook.
Yeah!
It's nothing.
It's all about the toys,
no,
isn't it?
No, people just like the photo.
Oh.
They don't have anything to
everybody
say.
Everybody likes
like it.
The Shock Therapy Live photo. They're like, yes, I love this hour. I don't want to interject or anything.
Maybe they don't even like the hour. Maybe they just like the artwork.
No, I love that word.
Kudos to the art department.
Yeah, they did
solid
it,
solid job,
they
guys.
Really did it. So.
And then I thought we had an email, but it's just
a
community event.
Do you really like it, or is it just like a compulsive disorder to click when you see
to
things?
To click
like
when Star 88 posts something?
Yeah.
That's good, too. That just means you're really locked in and you love Star 88. Right?
I don't know.
Which means if that's you,
it's like that friend who always tells you that you're awesome, but they really don't think, like, hey, you're awesome.
Yeah.
And then they talk behind your back. They're so stupid.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It was
happens
only once.
Happens to me a
twice.
Lot.
Maybe five times. You know, but I still think you're awesome. Did you just fall over?
Yes, I did.
Oh, are you okay?
I need some counseling, all guys. Right. I fell over and out of my chair.
Just blame the rain.
It is Shock Therapy Live.
I'm seriously not going to. The thing that I seriously, like, my office has no windows.
Oh, man.
But on days when it's rainy, I swear it feels darker in my office.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I literally got it to my office today, and I was like, oh, it feels dark up here. And I was like, wait, there's no windows. This is probably how it normally feels, but just mentally, it feels darker to me because I know it's darker outside.
But there's still, like, outside light that hits up to the offices up there. So
no,
it's now, like, if there's nothing in the hallway, it is darker.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Sorry. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700.
The only thing that can make me happy is to go watch the Harry Potter movies.
That's 505.
Whenever it's rainy or cold, that makes me happy.
338-3700. Those are fantastic movies.
Our boy, Pool Boy, called in, but
okay.
He was saying that open marriages, he was like, that's just an excuse, man. Like, people, they just want to go have sex with more people. That's all that it is.
No, that's good. He nailed it.
Yeah.
I mean, not literally.
And I asked him if he wanted to be on the air, and he said no.
Okay.
Dude,
thank you for
I don't get that. I'm never gonna understand that.
No. Well,
I mean, I understand why people do it, but
yeah.
I'm never gonna understand how you can like explain yourself into a situation where, like, oh, this is totally
this
normal,
is totally acceptable.
Like, this is the wave of the future.
Well, when sex is
5 years, everyone's gonna be doing it.
When sex is meaningless and or God, there's two avenues you can look at it. You know what I mean? If it doesn't mean anything to you, if it's just meaningless because you've done it so much that it's just become a thing you do, you don't have a proper definition of it because you don't realize that God did create this for this purpose within the confines of marriage because it is a very intimate thing, then you're just going to, I mean, like all sin, you're just going to kind of do whatever you want, right?
I just feel like, and this is, I mean, I that's why I'd love to talk to those people because I know it's easy to say like, oh yeah, we're totally accepting of it, but really when you see your wife go out on a date and sleep with that guy, okay with it?
No.
Are you really like, oh yeah, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
I'm not self-conscious that he's better in bed than
most.
I am.
Yeah, I know she loves me the most. She still comes home and goes to sleep with me after she showers, of course.
Dude, I just don't. I just don't see how that. Like, how can you get to a place where that you're accepting of that?
No, dude, I'm 100% with you. When I'm uncomfortable, I get a nervous giggle and crack inappropriate jokes. So, yeah, welcome to it.
I'd be like,
it's
hey,
uncomfortable.
Hey, I love you, but don't look at me for the next 5 days.
Gosh, yeah, I couldn't. Oh, yeah, I guess. It's welcome to 2015, man. That's where we're at. I did not send back.
Welcome to 2015.
Anything.
Just welcome to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, welcome. This is very true. The interesting thing is, as we're talking about this,
welcome
just
to depravity.
Us, we're talking about a couple who is they submitted for an interview on our station that are are, I guess, they've been married 40 years, and they're the, I guess,
spokesman?
Maybe,
spokespeople?
Yeah.
For skronking outside of marriage?
Skronking outside of marriage. Open marriages versus cheating, and how, you know, cheating is what's the downfall of marriage, but open marriage is fine. Michael Foster, he's a historian, novelist, and biographer. He has worked for the New York Times, the Washington Post, Entertainment Weekly. So, yeah, he's a quote-unquote accredited in life.
I don't like him.
He served as college librarian and associate professor specializing in women's studies. This is the wife. At City University of New York. She's published articles on education, travel, more than 200 poems in literature. Yeah.
I don't like them.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Gosh, it's weird.
Guess what? We got a Facebook comment.
Oh.
What'd they say?
Now that I've seen Owl City in concert, my bucket list is complete.
Okay.
What am I supposed to do with my life? Guess who it is. Guess, Steve-O.
What?
Guess who it is.
Well, it's...
You didn't listen.
Yes, I did. It's Joelle the Nanny.
Yes, it is. Now, she's completed her bucket list, Nate. What is she supposed to do?
Write a new one.
Write a new one.
Call it the 10-gallon bucket list.
Whoa.
Okay.
Bigger. Bigger than a normal bucket.
Bigger. Better.
505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Can my bucket list include the Star Wars movie? Because, you know, we joke about it. There's something very real about this, though. We joke about not wanting Jesus to come back before Episode 7 comes out, but...
I don't feel that way.
Right. So that's the thing, is where... when we examine that...
Stupidly, I do feel that way.
When we examine these
Sounds
truths,
like you guys need to do some soul searching.
Maybe we can come watch Harry
we
Potter
totally
with you.
We totally will, yes. On December 19th. I'm just
a good desire can very quickly become an idolatrous desire.
Right. Well, I mean, this is with anything. This is what we're talking about. And maybe this bends it back down, back to the question that we had about wanting to have a child in marriage and what happens when you cannot have a child in marriage. Does that desire become so great that it can train wreck a marriage?
Did Star Wars just turn into not having kids?
Well, I mean, you know. It was the midichlorian count, you know, so they were genetically incompatible.
You have a unique gift. You do it on Comics Corner too. Sometimes the way you allude from one thing to the next, I don't understand. It's like a gift. I'm like, did he just pull a Jedi mind trick on us? How did he go from that to that?
I don't know.
What in the world?
You see, Nate, some would call it ADD. I just call it the way the Lord has created me.
Just like genetic incompatibility.
Just like genetic incompatibility.
See, I just did it too.
Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700.
So many circles in this.
I know. That's 505-338-3700.
Like
you can also chime in on Facebook, facebook.com/star88fm.
Conversation within the conversation. Within a conversation.
Submit an email.
Quick, somebody spin a top.
Studio at star88fm. I've only seen that movie once. I saw it at the movie theater.
I feel like it's one of those movies that's really good, but I don't feel like it's one of those movies you want to watch over and over again.
Yeah, saw it once. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about most Nolan films, minus Memento.
Yeah.
Case in point, Dark Knight Rises. Blah.
You know a movie I saw that I really liked, and I was really mad that the critics gave it such terrible reviews, was Pan.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Dude, I really
loved
it.
My kids absolutely want to see that, though.
I loved it.
Okay, good.
Janae and I took Seth and Katie.
Okay.
And it was so much fun. And critics were mad because, like, there's this one scene when they get to Neverland and, like, all the pirates and stuff, they're singing Nirvana. Like, this whole entire, like, here we are now, entertain us.
So it's kind of like a Knight's Tale when they were doing Queen.
And critics were like, it doesn't make sense to be singing Nirvana in World War II era, and why are they singing it? Doesn't it? And I'm like, shut up. Right. Shut up. It's just cool.
Hey, for
That's
all
why.
We know, Kurt Cobain was a lost boy that made it back.
They probably hated Moulin Rouge
well,
then.
Exactly. Well, what I love about it, too, is they changed like all the costumes. It was like very steampunk, and they didn't like that. They're like, what's it make sense? The steam. And I was like, you know what? I thought it was really cool, a great artistic interpretation. I really loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Here you go with my gift again. You see, it's like legalism, all right? You
wow.
get so hung up on, like, this is the way it has to be, that next thing you know, you're caught up in a pan...
Your career gets panned. All right, we got a message.
You were stretching for that one.
Like the show.
Thank you.
Not just the art. This is Laura that liked the art. Today is a very interesting discussion about genetic compatibility and open marriage. Speaking of homosexuals not being genetically compatible, I think that got brought up a minute ago. I have a question. Hypothetically speaking, so not a real situation, but hypothetically, two married homosexuals have adopted children. They eventually accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. What should happen to the family once they realize their sin and repent? Should the couple divorce or stay in the same house but have a platonic relationship? What about the children?
Okay. What about the kids?
I hate hypotheticals.
I was just about to say, this is like when you're in a theology course and they're like, can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it? What about that kid in Africa that's never heard the name of Jesus?
This is what I do. I'd go to the same place that, man, when we first started Shock Therapy Live, we had a girl call in and she had a child. With a guy.
Yeah, dude.
And they were dating. They were not married. And they lived in the same household together. And she was convicted of her sin. She accepted Christ. And she said, what should I do? And we encouraged her to move out of the house.
I'm gonna say you did. I was sitting there like mouth agape, going, "Dude, Nate is straight up telling this chick she needs to move out, which is absolutely the correct thing to do." The cones this man is beholding right now. It was intense.
It was crazy,
dude.
But she did it.
She did.
And God like changed her life radically because she trusted God.
Amen.
She trusted. This is my thing. Like, should they get a divorce? Well, the marriage they have isn't honored in God's eyes, anyways. The state might say it's okay, but God never said it was okay, so they're not married in God's eyes because God never honored it. God never ratified it. It's not a marriage. It doesn't matter if the state says it's a marriage. It's not a marriage because it's not a marriage in God's eyes. So I would say absolutely if you accept Christ. I would even say absolutely if one person in the relationship accepts Christ, you should leave that relationship, not even if both accept Christ.
Yeah.
I would say that is the biblical thing to do, to honor God before you honor man. And to take that step of faith.
No, and you know what? No child was involved, but I immediately think of Amor Sierra, who was out here from the Miami Tattoo Company, because she had that lifestyle.
She wasn't married, though, was she?
She wasn't married, but she was with a girl. They were living together. I mean, it was like they were...
Well, and there's lots of those stories. I counseled a guy who recently was part of an interview... for the main sanctuary, same thing. He came from a homosexual lifestyle, and he left that. He accepted Christ. And so it happens all the time. And again, my big thing is when you bring in marriage into it, to me, the marriage isn't honored in God's eyes anyways. So to me, it's still the same for me, because even though the state says that, yes, it's okay, it's legal, it's not in God's eyes.
Yeah. Man. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. We'd also love to hear from you, because coming up in November, we're going to be doing something called Crew Week. And I know you're going to be away first week of November, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be gone.
But I'll wear a crew neck in your honor.
Thank you. But we want to hear from you. Maybe you listen to Shock Therapy Live week in and week out. You don't call in, because a lot of people, we do get this where they say, I don't want to call. I just enjoy listening to you guys. We would love to hear from you. It will help us tremendously for Crew Week. You can submit an email if you want, studio@star88.fm. Or you can just give us a call now. Maybe you have a praise report. Maybe something that has happened on Shock Therapy Live has brought about you making a decision or a change in your life.
Yeah. There's no sunshine outside. We need a little sunshine in the studio.
Right? We love hearing from you, those stories, because anytime, like the girl who was faithful and said, you know what, I'm going to step out of this relationship, and gave her life to Christ and got involved in ministry. Her life was flipped upside down in amazing ways, and she called back to say what God was doing. And those stories just blow us away, because in radio, a lot of times you don't get that. You know, we pour out and we have a show and we act like idiots and we have a lot of fun, but we don't get to see the fruit a lot of times.
Yeah. We got a question.
Oh, yeah?
Star Wars. Who is your favorite character?
Wait.
We got to do it at the same time, all at the same time. You ready? 3, 2, 1. Han
Solo. Skywalker.
Okay, well, I didn't hear it.
I said Luke Skywalker.
I said Han Solo.
R2-D2.
Yeah.
Really? He's your favorite character?
Yep.
The comical thing is I have a Darth Vader tattoo, and yet my favorite character is Luke Skywalker.
But why would you do that?
Do you ever regret that?
That's why my child's name is Luke and not Anakin. Also because of Anakin. Sorry for all the nerds who named their kid.
You know what's funny? That's like the most popular name this year.
Anakin?
Is Anakin.
Okay. I will say this, though. I very nerdily tried to convince Chrissy that we needed to name our child Kenobi. And she was like, we're not naming our kid Kenobi. What are we going to call him, Ken? And I'm like, yeah, actually, that's what I was thinking.
I'm glad that your wife
Chrissy put her foot down,
and
so we have cool names like Jack Jeter and Luke Jeter. And yeah.
Brody. Bold
and Brody. That was where I took over. She was like, I give up. You're never going to relent on this one. And I did not. Brody. So, anyways, yeah, dude, 505-338-3700.
He can't not be a cool person.
Right? I'm just saying, with names like that, I'm just got to let you know, going to be some cool kids out there. Already some cool kids out there. Jack turned 12 this last week and made me feel crazy old.
I feel like last you need year, to go teach him how to surf.
Oh, dude, Brody? Yeah. Yeah, eventually.
You don't have to teach other kids how to surf, but he needs to learn.
A little tough in landlocked New Mexico.
Yeah.
But maybe if you guys do another like surf trip, I'll help out with worship so that I can just do it.
Or just send him to like surf boarding school. Say, all right,
see,
son,
that's cool.
You're 10
cool
now.
Too.
Now you got to go for 5 years and learn how to surf and come back when you're done.
Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700.
He's got to ask and then hang up.
Oh, okay, cool.
He's at work.
All right.
Go.
Line one.
Hey, good morning, guys, and thank you for your show. But I have a question that's been on my mind for a while. A while back when this one guy was killing Christians for saying they love Jesus, you know, he would ask them, and if they said yes, he would kill them. Now, I was thinking, you know, if he would ask, I do love Jesus, but I also, if I knew he was going to kill me if I said I love Jesus, I would say no, because my wife needs me here, and so do my kids.
We had this conversation off air like the next day.
Did you?
Yes. I'm glad you're asking this question.
Okay, well, good. I'll let you guys respond because I'm at work now, so keep up the great work, and we love you guys.
Oh, all right, dude. Man. God bless you.
I'm also thankful for the honesty of this man, but I will...
I'm interested to hear the conversation. I didn't hear the conversation, so I want to hear about it.
You know who we were talking with it about? One of the most faithful human beings I know. His name is Peter Benson, and he is a sage. I love him. But we were talking about this, and I said, Peter, you know, like, because Dr. Ben Carson posted something about that. Like, you know who the bravest human being on the planet was? And it was the second person, you know, who said, I am a Christian. And then he posted that video, and take it for what it is, go political or whatever. You know, Dr. Carson posted this, I am a Christian thing. And, it's a very real question.
Yeah.
Somebody directly in front of you has a gun to their head and they say, are you Christian? And they say, I'm a Christian. Well, cool. You're going to see your maker in about 1 second. Boom. And then points the gun at you. What do you say? And I had the same response that guy had in my brain instantaneously. I have a wife. I have 3 kids. I don't know what I honestly don't know what I would do. And Peter Benson said in his old age that he would absolutely say that because he wouldn't want to deny his Savior.
Yeah.
That was his immediate thought was, I couldn't deny my Savior. And God would take care of the rest. And for me being faithful, you know, but then on the flip side, we think about this because it was like, oh, and the scripture reference he had was, if you deny me before man, I will deny you before my Father. And the immediate rebuttal, if you will, when we were talking about this was, wait, but what about Peter? He denied Jesus 3 times. And then.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, hey, that was okay.
No.
Yeah.
No, it absolutely was not okay. But. He was still redeemed.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It wouldn't be like,
high five, good job. Way to lie, bro, you know? But it this is a great moral question.
He betrayed. It was the fullest extent of the definition.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that the mindset of the verse, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, carries an idea of a continued denial where it's, if you continue to deny me before men, if you continually and habitually deny me before men, I will continually and habitually deny you before my Father.
Yeah.
So it's a continued idea. You know, we're all going to mess up. We're all going to make mistakes. And really, the concept of denying Christ really comes down to this concept of the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. And people say, okay, so there's like some magic thing that I can say that if I say this, I can't go to heaven because it's the one unpardonable sin. It's really a lifestyle of refusing to allow the Holy Spirit to do his job within you. It's not a one-time denial. So do I think that if someone were to say, no, I'm not a Christian, and then they didn't get shot, it's like, oh, well, you know, they saved their life, but they're going to hell. No, I don't think that. But at the same time, I still think the right thing to do is to not deny Christ, but to...
Right.
So that's still the right thing to do. So again, we bring up Peter. Peter denied Christ. He was still forgiven, but it didn't make denying Christ right. Even if it was just to save his own skin, it didn't make it right. And he still had to go through a restoration process with Jesus, where Jesus reached out to him and restored him and brought him back into that right relationship with God. But it didn't make what he had done right.
Yeah.
And I also think of Abraham. You know, when Abraham was in a foreign land and his wife was there and he was scared for his life, so he kind of lied about who he was and about who she was. And again, anytime that we lie, Anytime that we do that, it's not honoring to God. We don't want to put ourselves in that kind of a situation.
Dude, and one thing Peter had said, Peter Benson had said was, I just couldn't imagine living with that decision or that regret for the rest of my life that I denied my Savior. And now, as you mentioned, it is absolutely forgivable. Also of note, you know, we're able to have this discussion on our morning show. We're able to talk about what we would or would not do. They had a split second.
Yeah.
There's a gun at their head, and this shooter is asking whether or not you're a Christian. I mean, talk about the character within them to, I mean, it wasn't a, well, let me think about my wife. Let me think about my family. Let me think about it. They responded, I'm a Christian. And I also think there's something to be said about that. The idea that we talk about this measure of faith that we've been given, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think in that moment, the Holy Spirit would absolutely have to empower me in that moment. And I know that, you know, whatever would happen, the Holy Spirit would empower me for whatever, you know, whatever that task, whatever I had to say, whatever I had to do, because I know in my flesh, instantaneously, it was like, no, that'd be really tough. A father, the husband, you know, but above all else, as we talked about earlier with the children, Christ has to come first. So,
Yeah. You
know, it's fun to have these hypothetical what if discussions, but you're right. There's a split second. I don't know what would happen in that instance, you know? I'd love to say, like, man, I'd stand firm and be like, I'm a Christian! You know, like, but I have no clue what would happen in that real life second. Because just yesterday, I was on the freeway and everything is ridiculously jammed and I'm wondering what's happening, and I get an alert on my phone that a 4-year-old was shot because of some idiot road raging, and I immediately raged in my car with my 12-year-old who was in the car with me. And then I had to stop, and then I had to pray. And Jack and I had to go before the Lord and just pray for the family who was affected by this, pray for justice for the person who did this. But if you hadn't heard the news, yesterday a 4-year-old was killed.
Shot in the head.
On the freeway here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Because this is the culture we live in. This is the world we live in. And so we can talk about what we would do, but we honestly don't have time when it comes. Because, you know, for all of those out there who are afraid of death or facing it, or you're not going to have an opportunity to think about it or have a discussion with death when it approaches. So, yeah. Man,
dude,
it's that reminder.
That was
heavy
yesterday, man.
Yeah.
I had such a hard time. I was just in the car and I heard about it. I was just crying, you know.
My
heart was just so broken.
Dude, and then what was crazy is we prayed all afternoon for that 4-year-old because the child didn't die immediately. She was taken to the hospital. So we were just praying for healing. And then we got the update last night that she had died. And I, as a parent, immediately was awash with anger and just like begging God for Romans 13. Just like, dude, if Romans 12 says vengeance is yours, and then Romans 13 talks about how these people that you've placed in authority are your sword bearers for vengeance, dude, please let there be a bullet casing on the freeway they find. Let there be an individual who saw something.
And I was praying for like Frank Castle, like vengeance is mine, like. vigilante. Like, take those dudes out.
It's, yeah. As a parent.
Good night, man.
Yeah. So prayers. Not only for the family, especially for the family, for comfort in this time, but also for justice. For justice, man. Scripture is very clear about what happens with the harming of a child, and I just wouldn't want to be.
I got home, and the first thing I did was pick up my 3.5-year-old and hug her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't imagine holding her lifeless body, you know, that concept of.
Yeah. Well,
having to go to the back seat and pull her out, and I was just, it's beyond words to even, even comprehend what that must feel like. And so,
none of us are promised tomorrow. And if anything, hopefully Shock Therapy Live today is that reminder of what's important, because as we have these discussions about whether it's something as dumb and trivial as Star Wars or as serious as this marriage situation or the loss of a life, we have to remember we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And what are we going to do today for the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Like, how can we make a change today? Because maybe that's what it is. Talking to my kids last night was very much so the influence that we have around us to potentially be a light so that someone doesn't rage enough that their first instinct is to grab a gun and start shooting at a car on the freeway. Because we don't know where their heart is. I mean, obviously, man, we as humans are capable of so much depravity because we are all foolish human beings until we are grabbed a hold of by Jesus Christ. So we need to pray on all accounts, as much as it's insane to think about, for that person who's thinking, you know, holed up somewhere going, man, I would hope convicted, who took the life of a child yesterday. Unreal. Unreal. Heavy way to end the show, man, especially considering it's pouring rain outside.
Right. If I wasn't already, like, super impressed.
We got a couple of questions at the last minute. We'll get to them next week.
Yes.
You guys. So
absolutely.
Thanks for sending them.
Thanks to everybody who hangs out for Shock Therapy Live. I know a lot of times people's responses, we just want to hear you guys talk, but we do love it when you actually chime in. So please do so.
I need to go play Rock Band now.
There you go.
And watch Harry Potter at the same time.
Facebook.com/star88FM.
Get there. I need to eat soup, play Rock Band, and watch Harry Potter at the same time.
That's it for us. Until tomorrow, Steve Oteo.
Goodbye.
The statements expressed on Shock Therapy Live by hosts, guests, or call-in listeners are solely opinions. They are not intended to be medical or psychological counseling. There are no licensed counselors present, and suggestions given on this program are non-clinical opinions of those who express them. If you are in need of professional help, please seek medical assistance. The opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily represent the position of Star 88 staff or management or of Calvary Albuquerque.